the singing of our theme song, Back to the Blessed Old Bible, we introduce another Way of Truth broadcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to our international broadcast, this is Avani Craig, and we welcome you. We do thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing the Way of Truth broadcast with you from week to week. We appreciate every one of our listeners. We appreciate those who take time to let us know that our broadcast is a blessing. I am thankful personally for what the gospel has done in my own heart and life, and I realize and I know that God is no respecter of persons. God loves everyone. And when Jesus died upon that cross, he died for everyone. So whosoever will may come. And it is our prayer and our desire that God be able to use our broadcast to help souls to come to know the Lord, for to know him is to know life.
Let the world proclaim what a lovely name.
What a lovely name, sung for us by the West Virginia Trio. The scriptures teach us that God has exalted Jesus' name above every other name, and there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. Heavenly Father, we do thank you today for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. And we're thankful that we have the privilege of sharing His message with this precious people today. We're trusting that wherever our broadcast is reaching, the Holy Spirit will convey it to hearts and make it a blessing to souls. We are seeking to help souls to come to know Thee and to know life. So bless our broadcast and bless our congregation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
His amazing love unending is so much more than more than all.
Our subject for today's broadcast, The Christ We Preach. And our text of Scripture is taken out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. I'd like to begin our thoughts with a quote from Newsweek magazine of May 22, 2007. In some parts of the Christian world, the aspects of Jesus' story that most strain credibility, the virgin birth and the physical resurrection, have become optional to faith. And that's the end of the quote. And I'd like for you to take note of what this statement says. In other words, if you don't want to believe in the virgin birth, and if you don't want to believe in the resurrection of Christ, that makes no difference. You can still be a Christian. But I say, take these two out and you do not have Christianity. Now we read in John chapter 9 about a man who was born blind. Jesus made clay and anointed his eyes, telling him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which he did. And when he did, he came seeing. And this caused quite a stir among the people. And some did not believe that it was the man born blind. Some thought it was somebody that looked like him, but they didn't believe that it was the one that was born blind. It was not known in the history of man that one born blind was made to see. Even his parents were afraid to say who healed him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. If they would have acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, and that he was the one that had healed their son, they were afraid that they would be churched, as we would term it today. They would be put out of the synagogue. Later, Jesus saw this man in the temple, and he said to him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" The man answered, "Who is he?" This is a timely question. Who is the Christ we preach? Was he just a good man, a good teacher, and so forth, as some would have us believe? The Christ of the virgin birth. Why is this important? And it is indeed important. A natural birth would have been one with the nature of sin. Yes, if this person that was known as Jesus, if he would have had an earthly father as well as an earthly mother, then there would have been the sin nature there. And no one born with a sin nature could be the Savior of the world. The seed of man could never become the sin bearer, the Savior. Remember, there were two others crucified there on the cross when Jesus was crucified. So the seed of man, the seed of a human man, could not have become the Savior of the world, the sin bearer. He had to be born of a virgin. And this was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Yes, God's promise was that the Savior would be born of a virgin, virgin birth. The Emmanuel, God with us, would be born of a virgin. Now, when we think about Mary, let us look at the record in regard to the angel's visit to Mary. He said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Luke chapter 1, verse 35. That angel Gabriel, was sent to a virgin who was living at that time in the little village of Nazareth in Galilee. And the message was that she, a virgin, would conceive and would bear a son. And she questioned not the truthfulness of the angel's message, but how it would be. How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? In other words, seeing that I am a virgin. And the angel's answer to her was, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Who is he? He is the Christ of the sinless life. He was born without sin. He lived without sin. And he died for our sins. Sinless, therefore, he can impute righteousness to us. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. And so, who is he? He is the sinless Son of God. Not only was he born of a virgin and without sin, he lived without sin. And because of this, it was possible for him then to be our Savior, to be our righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, our Redeemer, according to 1 Peter 1 and 18 and 19. Yes, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, born without sin, lived without sin, suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary so that we could be redeemed from sin. Who is he? His name is Emmanuel, which simply interpreted means God with us, according to Matthew 1 and 23. Only God can forgive sin. Remember when Jesus forgave the man there at Capernaum? Whenever they let down that cripple in the midst of Jesus through the roof, and he said to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. People said, well, man, you blaspheme. But he said to them, which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk? They did not realize that he was indeed Emmanuel, God with them. And he had the power to forgive sins as well as to heal bodies. And he did indeed forgive that man because he was God manifest in the flesh. A man sick of the palsy brought on a bed to this house where Jesus was teaching. And this he said to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's in Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 2. Now only God can give life, physical and spiritual. The Apostle Paul, speaking there in Athens, Greece, as recorded in Acts 17, said that God is the one who gives to all life and breath, yea, and all things. So God is the only one that can give life, whether you speak of physical life or whether you speak of spiritual life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If you do not have the Son of God as your own personal Savior, then you are abiding in death. He is the God of the elements. Who is Christ? He is the God of the elements. Don't you remember reading in the Scriptures how that the disciples were out there on the sea and Jesus was asleep and a storm came up and the waves were washing into their little boat and they became frightened and they went and they awakened Jesus and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he stepped out on the little deck of the little ship and he said, peace be still. And what happened? There was a great calm. And they looked at him and they said, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The Christ we preach has power over the elements. Not just a small storm there on the Sea of Galilee, but any element you want to mention, he has power over them. Who is he? He is the Christ of the vicarious suffering and death. Vicarious, taking the place of others. He died so that we could live. Yes, Christ's death was a vicarious death. He, while we were yet sinners, died for us. In Gethsemane, he was there suffering, as it were, great drops of blood. Before Pilate, in Pilate's hall, he was the lamb that was led to a slaughter. At Golgotha, on the cross, he was the Christ of the vicarious death. He is not here. Now, let us come to the other thought that was mentioned in the quote from the Newsweek magazine. You don't have to believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus to be a Christian, so some people are now teaching. But let us look at what the scriptures say. Who is he? He is the Christ of the triumphant resurrection. Whenever Mary and others went to the tomb, they were told by the angel, he is not here. He is risen. Now, let me say, in regard to this, the angel went on to say, why seek ye the living among the dead? But let me say, in regard to this, God had prophesied and sworn in an oath to David that he would raise up one to sit upon his throne. Jesus Christ himself told the disciples he must go up to Jerusalem and there be slain and be raised the third day. And the 11 apostles were witnesses, and Paul himself, having been born out of season, was a witness. And Paul speaks of more than 500 people at one time seeing Christ. So who is he? He is the Christ of the triumphant resurrection. If you'll read 1 Corinthians 15, you will find out that without the resurrection, Jesus Christ was not the Savior. He was questioned and asked for a sign as to prove who he was. And what did he tell them? There's only one sign that I am going to give you. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so shall so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And, beloved, if Jesus Christ was not resurrected, he is not the Savior. He is not in the Christ. And Paul said, if he be not raised, then our preaching is vain, we are false witnesses, and we are yet in our sins. So Jesus told the disciples before he was crucified that he would see them or meet them in Galilee. And he did. After they had fished all night, they saw Jesus standing there on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus was a liar if he was not resurrected. God is a liar if he was not resurrected. The apostles are liars if he was not resurrected. And the 500 witnesses, including Paul, they are all liars if Jesus Christ was not resurrected. But you know what the scripture says? Let God be true, but every man a liar. Those who deny the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ deny the Savior. And you really cannot have him as your Savior as long as you deny his resurrection. Who is he? He is the Christ of the triumphant resurrection. He is the one who suffered and bled and died on the cross, and he is the one that came out of that tomb on the third day. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And he spent 40 days here on earth before he returned to the Father. And the angels told the disciples there on the backside of the Mount of Olives, he shall come again. Belief in the resurrection is necessary to obtain salvation. Again, I say, belief in the resurrection is necessary to salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If we cannot believe the scriptures, speaking of the virgin birth of Christ, if we cannot believe the scriptures concerning the resurrection of Christ, then what portion of scripture can we believe? Just throw the whole book out. But beloved, God's word is true. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus was crucified on the cross, and Jesus was resurrected on the third day. And today, those who really and truly believe in him have a living, risen Savior. Who is he? He is the Christ of the glorious return. Yes, the disciples were told by the angels, "This Jesus whom you have seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." And Jesus himself said in John 14:3, "I will come again. Behold, he cometh, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Even so, amen." Revelation 1:7. Will you accept this Christ who we preach and follow him? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. And we do trust the thoughts and verses of Scripture that we have brought to you have proven to be a blessing to you. If so, it would be an encouragement to us if you'd take time to write and let us know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast today. And we'd like to invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you.